Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A couple decades ago, someone came up with a notion that churches were doing something wrong. There was some deficiency keeping them from experiencing numerical growth. Taking very few pages out and simply importing the whole textbook on business marketing into the church, they came up with strategies to present the product churches were selling in more attractive packaging, added some winsome sales pitches, gave always be closing speeches chocked full of as many acronyms and fewer profanities than Alec Baldwin's, and sold their skills to congregations who bought the marketing campaign of the church marketers. You've got to do something to attract visitors and retain them if you want your congregation to grow. And if it's not growing, then it must be dying. Doubtless, you've bought into that line of thinking. If we just give people what they want, then they'll join our neat little congregation. You've perhaps even heard it from Lutheran pulpits or voters' meetings, because this kind of Baptist evangelical thinking has crept into even the most devout Lutheran minds. There's nothing wrong with marketing the church, of course. That is, unless you actually believe what St. Paul penned to the Corinthian Christians about the nature of the product that we are selling. The word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing. Or in today's parlance, the unchurched, or the de-churched, or the nuns, or whatever. The word of the cross is folly. And later in today's epistle, Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. See, that's the kind of flawed thinking that causes congregations to shrink. If St. Paul had graduated from Fuller School of Theology, he might have said something like, "The word of the cross is folly to millennials, therefore we should speak their language." And nuns demand compassion, and Gen Xers seek programs for their kids. Therefore, we ought to quit preaching Christ crucified and give these people what they want. If Jews demand signs, we better perform signs. If Greeks seek wisdom, we should be erudite and wise. If millennials want video clips, if boomers want campfire songs, if hippies want social justice, if Americans want self-help messages, if hipsters want coffee bars, if young parents want children's church and mom days out, if wannabe rockers want anthemic rock ballad, praise Jesus, and Led Zeppelin covers by tight-jeaned worship leaders and the lead singer Praise Babe, if middle-aged balding guys want dancing girls, if Botox ladies want bad girls of the Bible studies, if you want something we're not offering, we better offer it. Or you'll find the next flash in the pan church down the road. But St. Paul didn't go to Fuller. He doesn't attend church growth workshops. He preached Christ crucified, even though it was the opposite of what people wanted. If you've ever church shopped for a congregation that would give you what you wanted, and what you wanted wasn't the pure gospel and the sacraments rightly administered, then you have been infected by this unbiblical thinking. Repent. If you've looked around for just the right pastor who gave nice Goldilocks sermons that were just right in their application to your life, or who was careful enough not to step on your toes or usurp your authority as an influential leader, You'd just as likely have left the congregation pastored by the author of 13 books of the New Testament, St. Paul. Repent. If you've ever watched people leave and wondered what we could do to convince them to stay, or watched people join other churches and wondered what we could do to attract people like that congregation, you've bought into this church marketing mentality that is false, dangerous, and contrary to the clear confession of what St. Paul says the church is really about: Christ crucified. Repent. You already know better. The small catechism teaches you to confess, "I believe, I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to Him." You believe, you know, you cannot by any slick repackaging, savvy marketing campaign, or winsome sales pitch convince anyone else to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Church marketing is a joke. How do you market the gory, substitutionary death of Jesus Christ, the incarnate God, the eternal second person of the Trinity, on a cross, a Roman torture device, as a shamed exile out of the city of Jerusalem nearly 2,000 years ago? How do you market Christ crucified for sinners so lost and stuck in their sins that the only way to extricate themselves from the mess of the world, the only possible solution for the seriousness of their sins, was the death of the Creator in their place? You don't. You can't. That doesn't sell. It's not winsome. If you choose to market the church, it will certainly come at the expense of the cross, the core of Christianity. What you will be left with will not be the church, but a Bible-based self-help group or a fellowship of like-minded people with the same hour free on Sunday mornings. The church exists not in marketing, but in preaching. Therefore, we, with St. Paul, preach Christ crucified. In the wisdom of God, the world didn't know God through wisdom. But it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. That's how He saved you. Through the preaching of the cross, the death of Jesus in your place. He saved you from all of your sins, even your self-centered, arrogant ones, that suppose you or anyone else could have a solution for what ails the church. That thinking is what ails the church. And Jesus died for that too. His forgiveness is the solution to what ails the church. For false thinking, for misplaced hopes, for misguided decisions, for violence done to the church and her liturgy in the name of growth, for putting numerical growth over spiritual maturity, for arrogant pastors on their hobby horses, even for liturgical types who get the tingles down their spines when they hear that millennials are interested in mysterious things like creeds and liturgy, because that's the same flawed thinking that we do what we do to attract people, for every blasphemous use of His holy name to justify another dumb program, Jesus died. These are sins, but not sins that have the potential to alienate you from Him. That's because you have received His gift of faith. You're here. The word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, "I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart." Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? Jews demand signs, and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Somehow, with the Holy Spirit's gift of faith in Jesus, the foolish cross becomes wise, an otherworldly kind of wisdom. Somehow, to those whom the Spirit calls, the man of sorrows with no beauty to attract us to him becomes the center of the most beautiful scene possible, the crucifix. What was ugly and shameful, God dead on a cross, becomes a transcendent, eternal beauty, because in his wounds is our only hope, our only fountain of forgiveness. To us who are being saved, this is the wisdom and the power of God. To us who are called to the Lord's elect, his chosen, the cross is mysteriously sublime in its beauty. How could something so hideous to human eyes be the source of so much joy, so much comfort and eternal satisfaction and elation? Christ crucified, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Christ crucified is all we do. It's all we know. It's what we preach. It's only what we preach. It's what we do in the sacraments. Baptism is the application of Christ's death and resurrection for you. Absolution is the pronouncement of the crucified Savior into your ears. His, I forgive you because of his death. His Holy Supper is, as St. Paul says, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. The Lord's Supper is Christ crucified, fed to you to forgive your sins, to gather others who, like you, are being saved, who delight in Christ crucified for you. An inevitable warning here. If anyone should ever proclaim to you a different gospel, it's time for you to leave. If I or a subsequent pastor should refuse to preach Christ crucified, if we get wrapped up in sermons on how to build a better you, you must go elsewhere. If we become more concerned with our programs than the gospel, you should rightly tell us where to stick our crossless faux Christianity. If there comes a day when you do not hear Christ crucified for sinners, for you, from this pulpit, from this altar, that will be the day when you have no choice but to leave us to our self-important navel-gazing and follow your ears to the pulpits and places that will still give you the pure, unadulterated, uncorrupted, unpolluted gospel, Christ crucified for you, for the forgiveness of your sins. And if the day ever comes when you believe you've graduated from the gospel, ready to move on to more progressive sanctification, more how to live messages, you can be sure we will be here to remind you of the futility of this thinking and to proclaim Christ crucified for those sins too. It really is all you need, so it really is all we give. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.